Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Visual Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:47, that is Pacific Standard Time on November 14th. And today was another pivotal day in stock markets. What we're continuing to see is this massive rotation out of the kinds of shares that were really outperforming in the beginning of the year and into those that are perhaps most likely to benefit both from fiscal stimulus and also higher interest rates overall. And certainly the dollar has been one of the primary beneficiaries of the US election result. And the dollar index is trading at 100 dead even in here today. That's the upper side of the range that has been in evidence since the beginning of 2015, so almost 2 full years. But and it is a little bit overbought in the short term. Now we will notice from the chart that the last 2 times it got up to this level, then that short-term advance was capped with a clear downward dynamic, and then the index pushed all the way back down towards the 93-94 area. So there's no evidence of a downward dynamic, and it's hard to imagine why there should be a downward dynamic at this particular level to, on this occasion. However, it is overbought in the short term, so we could quite easily see a little bit of anticipatory profit taking at this level and perhaps some consolidation. Now, that is a risk from the perspective of those that are heavily long the dollar as a result of short covering and speculative buying over the last 10 sessions. But it could potentially be a tailwind for those types of assets that have really pulled back in response to this strong dollar. Certainly, the gold price is one of those. Gold prices and precious metals generally have pulled back really very sharply indeed. And it was particularly bearish that in the after well on election night, gold prices were up about $50, closed out pretty much unchanged, and then have been declining the last 3 consecutive sessions. But they're right back now, testing the $1,200 area, and a short-term oversold condition is evident. If we look at just the last 4 sessions, then the range is in the region of almost $150. And that's not far off 10%. So, we've had some pretty extraordinary volatility in the precious metal markets, and prices are right back now in the region of a previous low, and we're off that low in here today. So, we do have potential for some steadying, and that is the exact opposite of what we're seeing in the dollar, where there is the potential also for some consolidation there, but it's for the exact opposite reason that it's ran up so quickly. Silver prices in here today were even more weak, they actually moved to a new low and are trading below $17. So that's a $2 decline in just 2 sessions, which is pretty extraordinary. But this is obviously not the first time it's happened, because it happened at the beginning of October as well. When we look at the medium-term trend, well, then what we're presented with is a progression of lower rally highs since July, and that really will have to break in order to confirm that the bulls are back in control. So there is a short-term oversold condition. There is the potential for some steadying in this area, but we're going to need some fireworks on the upside to really confirm that demand dominance is it back in the driver's seat. And where we've also seen some pretty significant moves have been with dollar yen. The yen has broken the 108 area. The dollar is now trading above the 200-day moving average, and that's the first time it's done that since the beginning of this year. And what this does is it breaks the dollar's downtrend. And when we think about it, there is good reason for that. The dollar and the prospect of stimulus for the US economy, and not least because it has already been growing for quite some time, and stimulus is likely to add an additional boost, at least in the short to medium term. I think it is far too early to be talking about, the excesses that are likely to occur as a result of that. I think we'll have to cross that bridge when we come to it. What we are being presented with now is the very real prospect that we're going to have outsized economic growth in the short to medium term in the US, and that is driving dollar bulls. The Japanese have married themselves to the 0% bound on JGBs, so that is basically tying their monetary policy to the market, and the government is then going to have to step in and introduce additional reforms and greater stimulus if it's going to try and get the economy moving again, and a weaker currency could well be a part of that. So then we have this potential for the yen to continue to weaken, the dollar to continue to appreciate. Nevertheless, just like we've seen with the dollar and just about every other currency pair, it is short-term overbought. But when we look at the Nikkei, then we have a very close correlation here. The Nikkei moved to a new recovery high in here today, and its outperformance is almost 100% contingent on the yen continuing to weaken. The euro was also additionally weak in here today, so that was trading down. And I think it was, if my memory serves, it was around the 107. But perhaps more important than that is that we have this progression of lower rally highs since the beginning of April. And now we are pushing down to test the lower side of the range. And a clear upper dynamic similar to those that we've seen on previous occasions when the euro tested the 105 level against the dollar will be required to really check this decline. In less than 3 weeks, or perhaps it's a little bit more than 3 weeks, in fact, Italians are going to be voting on their Senate referendum, and the opinion polls don't look like they're particularly disposed to giving the political class any additional power. And regardless of whether that causes an upset or not for the Eurozone, then we have the prospect of the French election in March or April. So there is really plenty of things to look at on euro dollar for reasons why the euro could be breaking down. And in the absence of a clear down upward dynamic, then we would have to give that the benefit of the doubt. And euro weakness could potentially be positive for the euro stock market in nominal terms. Now, it wasn't up particularly much in here today, and not least because there's continued strife in a number of different markets, and there is certainly worries about what's happening in the bond markets. But if we see additional euro weakness, and most particularly if the euro breaks down, then we can certainly anticipate that this market will be breaking upwards. So we're back in this type of situation that we had at the beginning of 2015, where euro weakness translates into nominal stock strength. And for anyone investing outside of the Eurozone, then that would have to be hedged. And it's exactly the same for Japan, that anyone investing from outside Japan would have to be hedging their currency exposure. And considering that interest rates are so very low in Europe and in Japan, then that is not particularly expensive at this point in the cycle. When we look at the commodity sector, then copper was has held on to the vast majority of its gains, despite the fact that it was a bit it pulled back a bit on Friday. But it was in positive territory in here today. And this is a very powerful breakout, and it breaks a 5-year downtrend overall. It's a pretty similar story for the metals generally. And you can see that this London Metals Index has broken its really its long, well, it's more than 5-year downtrend, and this has been a pretty spectacular move already. But when we look at these are the types of shares that have been doing best, but recently. But then we have those that had been doing best previously. And Facebook today, at right in the region of its 200-day moving average, and bouncing from its intraday low. And it really will have to hold that low if the medium-term uptrend is to continue to be given the benefit of the doubt. Amazon is right in the region of its trend mean as well. And I think there is a very important question to be asked at these particular levels, and it is simply this. These shares have done spectacularly well already this year. Can we anticipate that they're going to be the ones that are going to lead us into the end of the year? And they're going to find that difficult, for the simple reason that the resources sectors and the banking sector is really quite a bit cheaper overall, and therefore with somewhat lower valuations overall and lower prices, then they don't have to rally as much in nominal terms to really turn in high percentage gains. Whereas when a share like Amazon is up, almost 50% on the year, even after a swingeing pullback over the last 5 weeks, then it would have to do something spectacular on the upside to outperform things that are coming off of reasonably depressed levels overall. So we may be in for a less powerful advance in some of these mega cap technology shares that they have been engaged in a process of mean reversion, and that we may see some ranging activity overall as they recoup and start to consolidate prior to advancing once more potentially next year. So, and that is why we've had where I think it is correct to characterize what's going on as a rotation overall. In today's stock market, what we're definitely seeing is the industrial sector, the consumer sector, the banking sector, the resources sector. They're all turning to outperformance, but it is those that have really been surging higher for much of this year are pulling back and have not bounced to nearly the same extent. So there is definitely a change in the air overall. And what we really definitely need to keep an eye on is our bonds. And I think the 2 year is currently at 1%. The last time it was at 1% was really at the end of last year. And the Fed funds rate is at 0.5%. It's likely to be at 0.75% a month from now. So right now, the 2 year is only pricing in that there will be one rate hike in 2018. But you can also see that it has gone up 25 basis points in 3 weeks. So what is happening in the bond market is that it is rapidly pricing in the potential for rate hikes, and it isn't really hasn't even really been pricing in the potential for even one rate hike until today. So we're not even close to having priced in the potential that there might be more than one rate hike next year if the Trump presidency is going to spend $1 trillion. And $1 trillion might sound like a lot of money, but China spends multiples of that annually on infrastructure. So there is certainly the potential for a considerable spending. They're talking, in fact, that $1 trillion dollars may go on infrastructure, but that he'll spend the deficit will increase by 5 trillion overall, which would suggest that there's going to be a lot of military spending as well, and that there is unlikely to be that they're going to unlikely to grasp the nettle of entitlement reform. So there is going to be a substantial fiscal stimulus, and to consider that there's only going to be one rate hike next year would appear to be rather Pollyanna-ish. And that is something that we really do need to keep an eye on, because in at the beginning of any rate hiking cycle, what you would anticipate is that the central bank can raise rates because they have a benign benign economic environment overall, and then growth picks up so they can raise interest rates. Then growth goes into overdrive. So at the risk of overheating, they raise interest rates even more. Then you get a headwind, and eventually you get a contraction. So we know what's going to happen, but it might take 2 or 3 years for it to occur. So But what we are definitely seeing in the bond markets is that they were priced for perfection. They were priced for the eventuality that rates would never rise, that growth would never improve, that the discount rate would be low forever. And that is just not looking to be the case. And in fact, it could be quite different from that overall. So the Merrill Lynch 10-year total return bond index has now broken down. And really, it needs to get back above 2150 to confirm that demand is returning to dominance in the bond market, and there is potentially considerably more selling pressure, and that will turn into a headwind for stock markets eventually, but perhaps not right now. Right now, when we look at some of these stock market indices, then they do look like they have consolidated in the region of the upper side of their underlying ranges, and that they have bounced pretty emphatically to break progressions of lower rally highs. And if that remains the case, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.